Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
The Lord told him, when Cain said, God, why didn't you accept my sacrifice? God said, it's because you know what to do, but you didn't do it. And so sin croucheth at the door, is what the King James Version says, croucheth at the door for you, but subdue it. So there's some things that we got to do, right? We got to do some things. I want you to go with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians. I want to talk to you for a little while this morning on don't waste your trial. Don't waste your trial. Pastor, I come to get encouragement. Hopefully you will get some encouragement. But don't waste your trials. When you get there, say amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27 is where we're going to start. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. Hey, before I read my text, I just want to tell you, in 2 weeks we have Back to Church Sunday. Back to Church Sunday is a national push to get people back to church. People have been out on vacation in summer, and we got 63 that I know of, that registered, that are at Rock the Universe this weekend, so they're not here this morning, 63 of our people. There's a lot of people who have been on vacation in that mode, but September the 21st is, they're calling it Back to Church Sunday to try to get everybody back on track, because how many know that going to church is a good habit? But it is a habit. And if you get out of the habit, it's real easy to stay out of the habit. So on the 21st of September, I'm starting a new series entitled Ain't Nobody Got Time for That. All right? And we've got a little video that we're going to take. It's on our website, or it's on our Facebook page. So share it, and let's get the word out.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time for that. Well, I woke up to go give me a cold pop. Then I thought somebody was barbecuing. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Then I ran out. I didn't grab no shoes or nothing, Jesus. I'm praying for my life. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got...
Look at somebody and tell them, ain't nobody got time for that. Amen. So... This Sunday, I'm preaching on don't waste your trials. Next Sunday, I'm going to preach on surviving the wilderness. God's had me preaching on the wilderness the last few weeks. It hasn't been a series, but it could be because I've been talking about the wilderness. So let's go with text and our text, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Verse 3 says, all ate the same spiritual bread or the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain. I just want that to sink in for a minute. Nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all of these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls. No temptation has taken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may bear or be able to bear it. Let's pray. Father, in the next few moments of time, I pray that you touch me with a fresh touch. And God, I pray that as I preach what you've placed in my heart, my spirit, that the people would be set free, would be encouraged by the power of your Holy Spirit and by the power of your word, in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Now, in Scripture, the wilderness is often seen as the place of trials and the place of test. God led Israel into the wilderness in order to convert, in order to convert their superstition and shallow beliefs into a solid rock faith. You see, there are plenty of people who know God by cliches. And they know God by what mama said and what daddy said. And some people know God by what the preacher said. But trials have a way of taking you into the wilderness and letting you meet God for who he is, not for who you thought he was. And for who he is and not who mama said he was or daddy said he was or what you had imagined that he was, but to find out who he is and to establish a solid rock belief in our God. Now, our wilderness, the trials that we endure to test our faith, is meant to accomplish the same thing for us. If we respond properly, church, to our wilderness, it will turn whatever degree of faith that we have into a powerful force for the kingdom of God. That God takes what you have and converts it into something that is able to stand the test of time. We must not let difficulties discourage us. We must not let it be to the point where we perish in the wilderness and never realize the goal and the purpose that God has for us, because God did not take you to the wilderness to kill you. He brought you to the wilderness to refine you. He brought you through to the wilderness to take you through it, not to leave you there in it. Can you say amen? Ah, I feel the Holy Ghost messing with me. Point number one is this, is some things only God can do. I'm going to say that again. Some things only God can do. Moses could lead Israel out of Egypt, but he could not take Egypt out of the Israelites. You know, it's that old cliche, you can take the boy out of the country, but not the country out of the boy. And the reality is some people can come to church but not get the world out of the church. And they can get saved, but the world doesn't leave them. Help me, somebody. That we've got to understand that God will take us to the wilderness in order to get the wilderness out of us. And even though we're not in the wilderness anymore. How many knows that, remember when you first got saved, that there were some things that you walked out of and you were saved, but you were still in. And there were some things that were still in you. And it took some time. It took some trials. It took some tests. It took some wilderness in order to get some of those things out of you. I'll be honest with you. I've been saved for 30 years, but there are still some times that God has to take me to the wilderness, getting some of the old stuff out of me, even though I've been saved for 30 years, because it's easy to go right back to the slop. It's easy to go right back to the pig pen. It's easy to go right back. You know why? Because sin has memory. You know, they tell me that muscle has memory. It doesn't take me long if I were to get back in the gym. They tell me it wouldn't take long for my muscles to remember how they used to be. Yeah, baby. The problem is you got to go to the gym in order to make that happen. So I'm not going, and it ain't happening. But here's what I know, is that just when you think that you've left it behind, that you won't ever have to deal with that issue, that temptation again, when you get lax in your faith, lax in your discipline, you'll find yourself right back there. Same way with eating or anything else. Can you say amen? Even though the Israelites were freed and actually moving toward the fulfillment of their destiny, most of them began looking back. I'm not one of those preachers who will tell you that there is no sin or there is no fun in sin. Because you know what I'll say? Then you hadn't been with me. Now there's a difference in fun and joy. Joy is there whether you're going through trouble or not. Fun is only there when it has to deal with your happenstance. It has to do with your happiness. So what happens to you differentiates whether you're happy or not, but joy can stay with you the whole time. But I understand that they were going, everything was wonderful. Yes, we're getting out of bondage, we're getting out of freedom, but I kind of miss what I used to be. I kind of miss, and especially when things get tough. Why in the world? Because when things get tough, pushes you back toward the drink. Pushes you back toward the things that bring you comfort. You know, well, that's right, preacher, preach it. Bless God, that's right. I'm with you all 100%. Well, we have comfort food. Amen. What pushes us back? I mean, I'm telling you, there's nothing in this world that comforts me like chocolate does other than the Holy Ghost. If I want to feel good, just give me a Snicker bar and I'll have a feel good for just a little while. Now you may say, well, Pastor, you know, that's not as bad as the drink. And I agree, it's not. However, I'm just telling you, we all have those issues where we go back to what we know. I've been eating right, I've been doing good, and I've been running, and I've been trying to be healthy, but then the pull is always there. The pull is always there. I'm going to say it again. The pull is always there. But there is a dividing line that separates those who go on to victory and those who go back to their doom. This is the dividing line. Give me my next one, Liz. The free person would rather perish in the wilderness trying to fulfill his destiny than to go back into slavery. The problem is we fail once and we just go wholeheartedly back to where we came from. No! Alright, it's confession time. The Bible says confession is good for the soul. Are you ready? I've been doing good. I've been eating right. My wife is in Panama City. I'll join her later on today. But she's in Panama City. I was home all by myself last night. After I went to some friend's house and we ate some supper and I went home, but there was just something missing. I needed a little something. So I went to go get the sugar-free chocolate that I have in the pantry. And my wife made a mistake because she left M&Ms in there. And I opened the M&Ms, and the next thing I know, the bag was empty. And it was like the big bag. Oh, I'm glad I'm not alone. I hear some of you. Roger said guilty. I'm glad it wasn't the peanut ones, but anyway, it was still, it was like not the huge $5 bag, but the kind of big bag. Not the king size, the bigger than that. And when I was done, it was empty. And you know what I did? I put it in the garbage in the bottom where she couldn't find it. She told me last night that for me to behave this morning, because she wasn't here. She didn't know I wasn't being behaved last night when she was talking to me, because she caught me with my hand in the M&M jar. It just pulled me back. So, you know what I did this morning? Well, I blew it. So this morning I'm going to get up and I'm going to go and I'm going to have biscuits and gravy and everything else I want. No, that's not what I did. I said, God, I can't do that. If I'm going to stay free of this stuff, I can't have binges like that. Uh-huh. And you may go, yeah, Pastor, that's funny. We all do it. But the problem is we all do it in other areas. We all do it in the other areas where we don't need to be doing it. And you're trying to get through the wilderness. You're trying to survive the wilderness. But God's saying, don't waste your wilderness. Learn something there. Learn something there. Listen, church, the most telltale sign. Let me find out where I'm at. I have no idea where I'm at. I've been preaching. Until we make the decision that we're not going to go back, regardless of how painful it gets, we'll not go forward with the force of faith that it takes to fulfill our destiny. The Bible says, Jesus said in Luke 9:62, no one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. If we still looking back, we're not ready to go forward. If we're still looking back, if we're always looking back, you can't drive a car forward if with your head looking behind you. Well, let me rephrase that. You can, but you're going to wreck every time. And that's where some of us wreck ourselves, is we're looking back at what used to and running into all kind of junk in front of you. Focus. Get your attention on the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus, and let's run with purpose and mission and be what God's called us to be. Now hear me. The most telltale symptom of surrender to slavery is grumbling and complaining. Oh, I'm going to get in your living room. Are you ready? Because the one who is grumbling and complaining has lost their faith and has already given up in their heart. Because complaining is the language of defeat. Because here's why. Because bless God, the children of Israel could not free themselves. They couldn't do anything about their situation. But one thing they could do was talk about it. They could complain about it. And that's what they did. They complained and they complained and they talked and they talked and they talked, but they would never be free. And so therefore, when you feel helpless to get yourself out of a situation, what do? You begin to complain. When you feel powerless to change it, you feel like that talking about it will make it better, but it's not going to make it better. Quit complaining about it and begin to speak the word of God to it and watch things turn around in your life. True faith is true freedom. No shackle can put it on you. No shackle can stop true faith from coming out in your life. It is the ability to seize the vision of our destiny in Christ and His kingdom with such a grip that it cannot be taken away until it's fulfilled. True faith will get you to the promised land. Point number two is this. I don't like point number two. The in-between. The in-between time. The in-between time. The time from your, when God speaks it. The Lord promised Israel a land flowing with milk and honey. But yet the first place He led them, there wasn't even water there. The Lord promised you a house, but you can't even see your way clear out of the one you're in. Oh, let me help somebody. Well, you know what? When God gives me a new car, I'm going to take care of it, not like the one I have now. You need to take care of what you've got to show God your faithfulness to take care of what He gives. Because here's the reality. Whatever it is you got, whether it's a car or a bicycle, He gave it to you. Well, Pastor, I don't even have a bicycle. I'm walking. He gave you at least feet to walk with. Come on, somebody. It could be worse. Come on, somebody. So take care of what you have now. All right? This confused Israel when God said, I'm taking you to a land of milk and honey. All right, woohoo! All right, we're going to a party. Let's go. Here we go. Hallelujah. Woo, I'm thirsty. Woo! Hey, y'all got anything to drink? No. How can you have a party without anything to drink? How can you take me to a land that flows with milk and honey, but where I'm at, there's not even water? Because there's an in-between time. This experience highlights one of the basic principles of our walk with God. Between the place where we receive the promise of God and the fulfillment of their promise, there is usually going to be a wilderness. There's usually going to be a wilderness. Come here, Arthur. See, I can take Arthur and I can say, Arthur, listen, man, I'll tell you what, we're going over there by that piano. Bless God. Now, I know it might not be too exciting for you because you're not a piano player, but it's all right. We're going to go. But you know what? There's some things between me and the piano. There's some steps that we've got to go through. There's some things we got to climb. There's some obstacles we got to go around and make sure that it's not there. And even if you're not careful, there are things that stand in the way. Even though so minute and so small, there are things that stand in the way to keep you from seeing where you're going. But you've got to trust that God knows where you're going. You've got to trust the hand of God to guide you. You've got to trust the hand of God to tell you and to lead you how to get around those things in order to get to what He has promised you to be and what He's promised you to be at. Thank you, Arthur. So we've got to understand this, church. In order for the promise to be fulfilled, there will be a barren place that requires faith between the place where we receive the promise and the attainment of the promise. We think that, bless God, that when God tells us something, we go straight to it. It may take years. What about Abraham? When God said, you're going to be the father of many nations, but he had no children. His wife was barren. He said, okay, I know. Or Sarah did. She said, I'll help God out. And that's when you get in a mess, is when you try to help God out. God don't need you to help him out. He just needs you to do what he says. Joseph was given a dream that even the sun, moon, and stars would bow to him. But first, he had to become a slave. Doesn't make any sense. You know, listen, I don't know if I've ever shared this with this church. When I first accepted the call to pastor, not preach, but pastor, I had a prophecy given over me that you would preach to hundreds. I had another one given that you would preach to thousands. Well, it was many moons before I ever preached to hundreds. Matter of fact, I know what it is to preach to three people. I know what it is to preach to 20 people. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? There was a long time before I ever got to preach to hundreds. Now, to God be the glory and I bind the devil, I preach to hundreds every week. And I've preached to thousands. But what I'm saying is I really didn't expect to step on the stage the first time I preached after God saying you'd preach to 1,000 and expect to be a Billy Graham. Because you got to know that God knows where you are. And here's the reality. I couldn't handle preaching to that many at that time. I remember when we was in the small building, some of you will remember, we had an 8 o'clock service instead of an 8:30. And in our 8 o'clock service, we averaged about 35. And then in the 11 o'clock service, we'd have 150, 200 people, man. We'd pack that place out. And some people go, why don't you just close it down and quit preaching? You're only preaching to 25, 35, 40 people at the most. And I said, I'm not going to do it because one thing, it helps me keep humble. Because everybody can say, man, you look at the big crowd you preach to. I'd say, hey, but I preach to 25 every Sunday morning. All right. Now that 25 has grown to 100. But here's the reality. You cannot expect for the promise and then tomorrow be there on the fulfillment of that promise. There's a process. However, don't wait on your laurels and wait on your hindquarters waiting for God to do it all. When God says it, wake up in the morning. Well, bless God. Hallelujah. I'm ready for what God has ready for me. And wake up the next morning. I'm ready for this morning for what God has ready for me. God, I remember your promises. And when the things get in your way, God, I remember your promises. And when the mountain gets high, God, I remember your promises. And when the steps get long, Lord, I remember your promises. When you feel like you want to throw in the towel, God, I remember what you said unto me. And when you continue to do that, don't talk defeat. Don't talk complaint, but say, God, I remember your promise, and God will bring it to fruition in your life. Can you say amen? Moses, though he had been a prince, spent 40 years in the desert as a shepherd. The most humble profession of his time before he was ready to lead God's people. Now you think you've been demoted. You think you've been through some stuff? I want you to think about Moses. Raised in Pharaoh's house. When he stood up, everybody goes, oh, there's Moses. Wow, check him out. Must be great to be him. Must be great to have his life. And then he went from the palace to on the backside of the desert where nobody knew his name, having to work for his father-in-law. Doing what? He wasn't in the palace with people fanning him. He wasn't in the palace with all the good things, people bringing him food. He was on the desert, smelling like sheep. In the hot sun, sweating. Nobody knows your name, just taking care of sheep. I heard one preacher say it like this, and I like the way he said it. He said, Moses spent 40 years being trained to be somebody he wasn't. It took 40 more years for him to unlearn what he learned. And then the last 40 years was his most productive time. Let me tell you something, church. Our text said that we don't become so to the point that we think that we're all that in a bag of chips. That's the RGR version. That we don't think that we're something. I've shared this before. A message in tongues was given out and this guy who thought he was really something, somebody else who interpreted the message, and it said this, for thou thinkest thou art a humdinger, but thou art not. Thou art just a dinger. And there are too many people who thinks they're a humdinger, and all we are is just really a dinger. Come on, somebody. After David was anointed king, he spent years fleeing from the very people he was supposed to rule over. The purpose of this process can be summed up in one word. Preparation. Do you know what the fail of most, too many businesses, the fail of too many people is that they're not prepared for success. They're not prepared to do what needs to be done. Right? There are many businesses who failed because they got too successful too fast and they was not prepared for the success that they had. There are people who have went awry, preachers and ministers who have done wrong because they was not prepared for the success. The wilderness is preparation. Israel's experience as the wilderness was a time of preparation for the formation and the maturing of their faith. It was the wilderness that Israel was to build a habitation for God so that he might dwell among them. I don't know if you caught that. It's in the wilderness where you build a habitation for God. Because see, if you can make it in the wilderness, you can make it when you get through the good times. See, that one of the reasons I know where I came from. I know where I came from. I remember where I'm from. I remember what I've been through. I remember where I'm from. I remember that I wasn't born saved. I remember I wasn't born with a silver spoon. I remember I wasn't born having it all together. You look at people now and you see the finished product, or you see where their years have taught them and took them, but you don't know where everybody started from. And we cannot remember where we started from. The Bible, Paul said, such were some of you. Some of you were idolaters. Some of you were adulterers. Some of you were fornicators. Some of you were murderers. Some of you were, and we could go through the list. So were some of you, but thank God I'm not who I used to be. Thank God, like Steve said, I'm not the man that I once was, but thank God I remember who I was. So when that same, my God, so when that same person walks through that back door, or they come through one of these other doors, we can remember. I remember when I didn't smell too good. I remember when I didn't have it all together. I remember when I didn't know how to say amen. I remember when I didn't know how to act in church. But blessed be to God, God brought me through a process. So let me lift up a hand and say welcome. Let me show you how to get there. And it is by Christ Jesus and Him crucified. Woo! It's in the wilderness that He is made our God and we become His priest. It's there that we become intimate with Him and learn His ways. There are facades of our old nature are stripped away, and we come to know how desperately we need the transformation He is working in us. Like Israel, we may enter the gateway to the promised land with the treasure of Egypt, but we will have to learn to depend on the Lord for the drink of water. I don't know if you caught that. I'm going to just say it again. That we may enter the gateway of the promised land with all the treasure of Egypt, but we will have to learn to depend on the Lord for the drink of water. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Let me break it down. We may learn everything there is to know about God, but we still have to depend on God for life. All right? You know, I know men and women who come out of, and I'm not against Bible college. I paid a lot of money to send my daughter to one, and paying a lot more to send my other one there. But I'm not against Bible college. But the problem is, some people step out of Bible college and they go, okay, I've got it all together. But and I know how to do this and I know how to do that. And I know the theories of all this. But it's still, you've got to have the anointing to go along with those things, or it's no good. You might have all the business knowledge that you need and you know how to make a business work, but you still need the anointing of God for the drink of water. Am I making sense to you? I know people who can tickle the ivories. I know people who can play the guitar, and they're wonderful. Then they can just tear it up, but there's no anointing there, because it is not the skill of knowing that makes the difference. It is the anointing that makes the difference. And I would rather have somebody, and I'm not talking about don't practice, and I'm not trying to give anybody a scapegoat, but I'm telling you, I would rather have the anointing than skill any time. Because to you can learn skill, but you got to have the anointing. Glory. Glory to God. The wilderness blessing. The wilderness is not a curse. It's a blessing. The wilderness is not a curse, it's a blessing. It's the place where the world's grip on our hearts and minds is loosened, and we're captivated by the Lord and His eternal purposes. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean, it's easy to have distractions until you get in the wilderness. It's easy. You know, my cousin, who now pastors a very large church in Mississippi, he and I used to party together before we got saved. He got saved before I did. And I remember when I first got saved, and he went to be a youth pastor at a church. And I said, man, how are you going to do that? He said, I'm stepping out on faith. I said, are they paying? He went full time. I said, are they able to pay you? He said, no, I'm just stepping out on faith. I went, wow. That's pretty incredible. I said, how are you going to pay your bills? I know you just got a new car. He said, by faith. And man, he was by faith. It's like, all right, you go, boy. And we were young and dumb, didn't know any better. So about 6 months later, he's talking to me. He says, oh, man, I took this job, Ronnie. You got to help me pray. I said, yeah, I will, man. I've been praying with you. He said, no. He said, now my savings is gone. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I've lived off my $20,000 in savings. And he was like 20 years old. He said, I lived off my $20,000 in savings. I said, oh, so when you stepped out in faith, it wasn't really on faith. It was stepped out on your savings. Big difference, right? But now my savings is gone. You know, because we all do that, right? Lord, help me pay this bill. Lord, help me pay this bill. All right, God, I got it. Thank you. But when you know it ain't coming and you don't know where it's coming from, oh, God, your prayer changes. Lord Jesus, it's one thing for me to pray for your child. But when it becomes your child, it's one thing for me to pray for your finances, but it's another thing to pray for my own. You hear what I'm talking about? It is the wilderness. It is that place where we have to get serious with God. When there isn't any other help, if the help doesn't come from God, there ain't no help. It's that wilderness. And that's when the wilderness becomes a blessing. We've got to know thirst before we ever seek water from the rock. Hey, we got to know hunger in order to taste the manna from heaven. Hungry people don't care what they're fed. We got to know it. When we're able to grasp all that is accomplished for us in the trials of our wilderness, we can truly say, like James said, consider it all joy. Consider it all joy, my dear friends. When you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But the confusion, it's always there, right? The confusion. God's promise to Israel was clear. He would bring them to a land flowing with milk and honey. Then for the first 3 days of their journey toward the land, they did not have water to drink. But let me tell you something. This was a real trial. And real trials bring forth real faith. Real trials bring forth real faith. You know, when you've done all that you know to do, that's when you got to stand, right? See, most of us don't need miracles any longer because we got banks and credit. We don't need miracles because we got counselors and therapists. And doctors and marriage counselors. And so we're really not believing for the miracle because we got our trust in this and that. But true faith is internal, not external. True faith is not dependent on what's going on around you. It's dependent on what's going on in you. True faith is not altered by disappointment, but instead is strengthened by disappointment. True faith will always turn the bitter water of disappointment into the sweet waters of opportunity. True faith. As God has always provided such a treasure for those who believe Him. Church, even though we gain so much from our wilderness experience, it's not God's intention that we stay there any longer than necessary. God didn't tell you to go there and put down stakes. He didn't tell you to go there and build a house. He said, go through it. Go through it. We must go through it. Point number five is this. Israel had a purpose and so do you. Israel had a purpose and so do you. Look at your neighbor and say, I got a purpose. This is far more to our purpose in God than just being saved. Pastor, what more do you want? Gee, I love it. Come on, man. I'm saved. God didn't save you to sit. He saved you to serve. He saved you to expand the kingdom. He saved you so you could help save others. Evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. You know, my oldest daughter who graduated college this year found a website where she could get her textbooks for less than half off, good textbooks. And I thought about that principle, one beggar telling another beggar where they found bread, because my youngest daughter now is in college, and that's one of the first things my oldest daughter told her. Now, here's where you go to buy the books, because they're cheaper. And I said, write that down. Because I'm paying for those books, write that down. And I looked on Facebook one day after Lauren first got to college, and she said, hey guys, go to this website for your books, they're cheaper. Well, we call it advertisement. We call it word of mouth. I call it one beggar telling another beggar where they found bread. It's evangelism. That's the same thing that you ought to be doing. You ain't got to go tell people that do you know Jesus? You're going to hell. What you need to go tell people is, let me tell you about my life. Let me tell you how my life has changed. Years ago, I used to be a crack. Years ago, I was a drunk. Years ago, I was this, I was that. But let me tell you what has happened to me. And I'll tell you, they'll ask you, what did you do? Let me tell you what I did. I came to know the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I turned my life over to Christ, and He changed me, and I never will be the same again. I am what I am. I am who I am by the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. That's what happened. You don't have to take your Bible and beat people over the head and over the shoulder. You ain't got to take your cross and throw it all up in their face. Get your bumper honk if you love Jesus. Tell them about your life. It's the best advertisement. It's the best evangelism. Tell them about your life. And then don't let your actions contradict what you just told them. Ah! Faith moves God. My Lord, I got so many more notes on here. Come on back. Let me just quit. Faith moves God. Unbelief provokes Him and will never result in deliverance. Faith is the straightest path to the fulfillment of God's promises in your life. Faith. Praise is the language of faith. Praise is the language of faith. I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. Go to the key of C. Let me just come here. Come on, Althea, help me.
Praise is what I do. Praise is what I do. When I want to be close to you, I lift my hands in praise. Praise is who I am, and I'll praise Him while I can. I'll bless Him at all times. Praise is what I do, even when I'm going through, 'cause I've learned to worship You.
Did you hear that part?
Praise is what I do, even when I'm going through, 'cause I've learned to worship You.
I've learned to worship You. I'm going to say it again.
Praise is what I do, even when I'm going through.
Why?
I've learned through my wilderness to praise You. My circumstance, but they don't even stand a chance, 'cause my praise outweighs them all.
I'll praise you. Whether happy or sad, I'll praise you. In all that I go through, because praise is what I do. And I owe it all to you.
Would you stand to your feet with me? Lift up your hands and say, I'll
praise you. All and the bad, I'll praise you. Whether happy or sad, I'll praise you. In all that I go through, because praise is what I do.
It's what I do,
and I owe it all.
Me say,
praise is what I do, even when I'm going through, cause I've learned to worship you. I know my circumstance, but they don't even stand a chance, cause my praise outweighs the bad, and that's all to praise.
Good and the bad, I'll praise you. Whether happy or sad, I'll praise you. In all that I go through, because praise is what I do.
It's what I do,
and I owe it. Happy or sad, I'll praise you in all that I go through, because praise is what I do.
It's what I do,
and I owe it all to you.
Lord, I praise you.
Whether happy or sad,
I'll praise you.
In all that I go through, because praise is what I do.
It's what I do,
and I owe it all.
Yes, I
owe it all.
Yes, I
owe it all.
Give God praise in the house. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, in your name, God, I pray that we don't waste the trial that we're in. Lord, I pray that we don't just pray to be delivered out of it, but be delivered through it. Because if we just come out of it, that doesn't mean that we've learned anything. But if we come through it, it means that we've been there. We've done something. We've gone through. And in your name, Lord, I pray that the blinders be taken off of us. That we would be able to see crystal clear. That we would be able to see, God, that we would be able to see you as a wheel in the wheel, as the water in our desert, as the rock in our storm, our ark in our rain. And Lord, help us not to speak the language of defeat, but the language of faith, which is our praise, your praise. So today, God, I praise you. I bless you. I glorify you, and I will not waste my wilderness. I will not waste another day. I will not want to go through it again. So therefore I will learn that I'm not going to waste it in your name. Amen and amen. Come on, give Jesus a hand.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.